Whenever Paul addressed, he always began by releasing, by decreeing, by announcing grace and peace from our Father and the Lord Jesus be upon you. There's a power, there's a reality of him sharing and the keys of the kingdom, releasing something from the throne room of God for people to be able to understand and to be able to receive what he's busy writing. So Father, that's our prayer, our proclamation, our decree, as we've been singing about your kingdom come. We want to release and speak over our nation grace and peace, and over our lives grace and peace from you, our Father, through Jesus Christ, that there will be a stirring, there will be a passion, there will be hunger. So we release the passion, we release the fire of God, and we loose it from where we are seated, and let it, and we speak it here on the earth realm, so that there will be an awakening taking place, and seeing the body of Christ arising, the body of Christ, so much love with you, having the jealousy of God burning like a fire within us. So we thank you for this, Lord. We want your name to be known, not just as a swear word, but we want your name to be known as the name above every other name. Hallowed be your name. And this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to continue where we've left off. And just for those that join us this morning, we are busy on a bit of a journey, in a sense, to understand the power of the cross and really beginning to understand the reality of having a resurrected spirit. Our spirit was raised from the dead in Christ Jesus, so that once again we are able, our human spirit is able to be in a relationship with God, who is spirit. Remember, we are made in God's image, so we are spirit beings. And so now that we are born again, our spirit and God, there's that communication, there's that interaction, there's that union, there's that participation, there's that oneness that we have the privilege of experiencing. Now, as I shared before, the tendency is that because we don't realize this what took place when we got born again, what happens, because we have lived a life for so many years, we thought from a dead spirit, we behave from a dead spirit, so that's the habit of our lifestyle. And when we get born again, we still got that habit, we still have practiced for many years of thinking from a dead spirit and behaving from a dead spirit. A very good scripture that explains this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we see there in, I think it's verse 9, where it speaks about there, who knows a man's thoughts except their spirit within them. So you can see the incredible interaction between our human spirit and our mind and our thoughts. And so that is why now that we have been born again and we realize, but our spirit has been raised from the dead, our spirit is now interacting with God, who is spirit. Now I need to renew my mind. And I need to, now as I start to renew my mind, what takes place? There is an inner transformation that takes place. And we are conformed more and more into his likeness. And that's the breakthrough that we experience when we start to get into agreement with the Word of God. And that's why, as that song says there, that foundation of faith, you know, many people will fall away from God because there's no real faith. It's not a living faith. It's a religious faith. And you'll find that taking place. And we now are beginning to really get established in this fact that, listen, when Christ was raised from the dead, I too was raised from the dead. My spirit has been raised from the dead. My spirit is alive. Let me start to think like that. Let me start to believe that. And by simple faith, nothing extra, a pure simple faith, this God faith, wow, Lord, this is what's happened. This is who I really am. And I want to thank you that my spirit is alive with you. And so just as God breathed into Adam His breath of life. When we got born again, by the Spirit of God. It was like once again God breathing back into man His life. So what happened in what Adam destroyed and all the consequences of Adam's disobedience, in Christ Jesus, He restores all of that. And He brings it back into our reality, into our lives, who simply believe in our Lord Jesus. And the evidence of belief is we love Him and we follow Him. And that's the evidence of a genuine faith. And so we are very privileged. So we are being established in this now. Now with that, why this is so important, because to understand the truth of being seated in the heavenly realms, we need to know what actually has taken place with us. What does it mean to be a new creation in Christ Jesus? What does it mean to no longer be in Adam, but be taken out of Adam and into Christ Jesus? What does it mean to be taken out of the dominion of darkness, no longer slaves to darkness? Darkness is everything that is not in Christ Jesus. Anything that's outside of Jesus is darkness. What does it mean to be taken out of darkness, out of the dominion, out of the rule, out of the authority of darkness, and into the kingdom of light in His Son Jesus Christ, whom He loves through the blood of Jesus? What does that mean? How do we live in this truth of being in the kingdom of light and not in the dominion of darkness? So all the time, this is vital for us to understand, to be able to understand what does it mean to be seated with Christ, so that we can rule and reign with our Lord Jesus Christ and think and begin to be involved and participate around the table with God's counsel, and then begin to be able to release stuff and understand the keys of the kingdom, which we still get to as we continue. So that's what we've been looking at. And this, I want to just share a few scriptures again this morning. Here in Ephesians chapter 2. Or let me just read Ephesians 1 first. In verse 3, where tremendous celebration and just saying to the body of Christ, listen guys, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is going to be so, so important, because notice what the Word of God says. Praise be to God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is crucial to understand the reality of being raised with Christ Jesus. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation in the world to be holy and blameless in sight. Now listen to this. In love He predestined us to be adopted. Very important. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been predestined to be adopted. Okay? As His sons through Jesus Christ. So if you want to understand predestination, simple. God said, I want you to be My children. And the way it's going to happen is through Jesus Christ. That's My predestined plan, Jesus Christ. Okay? And so now we simply just receive the way that God has planned it for us to be adopted into His family. He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He has made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head in Christ Jesus. So yeah, just notice the language over here where Paul is busy expressing something that is very real to him. Remember, he understands what it is to be seated in the heavenly realms. And now he's sharing about the glorious generosity and the good pleasure of the Father in adopting us as His children. So he's starting to understand the depth of love that He has for humanity. and through his son, the joy. It wasn't a slip. It wasn't, oh no, kind of thing. But this excites God. His way of bringing us back to him, reconciling us back to him, really excites God. It is good. It brings him great joy, great pleasure. And he wants us to praise be to God. He wants us to really celebrate this incredible gospel, this good news of our Father that is made known and expressed through his son Jesus Christ. And so we looked at this, and then we started to look here in chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's who we all were in Adam. Okay? In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And that's, as we all know, we've all lived there, and that's still the reality of everyone that's outside of Jesus Christ. Because of a dead spirit, our spirit communicated with the spirit of this world, and we followed the spirit of this world. Okay, that's the reality. That's why, if we don't understand this, we can put this, let's look, we're the government now. We want to stop corruption. How are we going to do that? Let's put a law. Let's have a committee. Let's put big signs all over there, and everybody can renew their mind. This is the consequence if you break the law. That will not solve any problem, because they're failing to notice the condition of their spirit. If their spirit is dead, they will live dead. They will respond like that. The fruit of a dead spirit is theft, is lies, is deception. That's just the fruit of the fallen nature. So to be able to change a nation, we've got to understand, we've got to look at the condition of the spirit of mankind. That's why the gospel is the power of God for salvation, because it's a power to change and bring a dead spirit to life. That's why we're not ashamed of the gospel. We share the gospel. It's God's chosen way to bring about salvation and to change a nation. So that's why it's so important to be able to understand the way how God has predestined for people to come into his family through his son Jesus Christ. Okay, the power of the gospel. That's why, remember years back, God said the answer for this nation is what my son Jesus Christ has done. Because only he, through him, person's spirit can come alive. Okay, so go and make disciples of all nations, the Great Commission. This is a foundational truth to understand this, to be able to share the gospel, because that's how we make disciples of all nations. Because their hearts are being changed, the spirit's coming alive, and from there you start to disciple, renewing your mind to a truth. This is who we really are. So that's why Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 is so crucial in understanding all of that. Now, so here in Ephesians 2, as we continue, all of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. Our spirit is dead, we think like that, we behave like that. And following its desires and thoughts, we were all under the dominion of darkness. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, abundant, just overflowing, so generous in his mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Again, you see the language, riches, kindness, generosity, mercy. This is our Father. This is God who created us. This is our Father that we've been reconciled to. So important to start to get a revelation of our Heavenly Father, so that we can open our hearts to allow him to father us and experience his fatherhood. And then we carry on. Let me just finish this verse. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we've been spending a little bit of time of understanding from the cross. We died with Christ. We've been raised with Him. And then we're moving on, and now we're looking at the ascension, because the ascension is the truth about us being raised with Christ and seated with Him in the heavenly realms. At the ascension, where Christ was glorified. Okay, so we're starting to understand the ascension. The fact of Christ's ascension is such a big deal for you and I, because it's the truth about us being raised with Him. He's in the heavenly realm. We are seated with Him in the heavenly realm. How do we live like that? How do we think from that position now? How do we pray from that position? How do we live our lives as parents, as husbands and wives, as citizens, etc.? How do we live from that position? Okay, this is why we need to get this established within us. Now in Romans chapter 8, let's just quickly go there, because this morning I'll be spending a bit of time in Romans chapter 8. But in Romans chapter 8, I want to just read verse 14 through to verse 17. And you'll see why I'm emphasizing this morning the fatherhood of God, adopted as His children. Yet, so in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 onwards over here. And he's speaking about, I'll get back to that later, just now. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit, because our spirit is now alive. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. So here we're starting to see something about the truth of being seated with Christ. And all of a sudden there's a connection to a word here as an heir, co-heir with Christ Jesus. What does that mean? And this is something now that we all need to meditate and ask the Holy Spirit to take us in this incredible truth, because as Paul says, praise be to God who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in His Son Jesus. Co-heirs with Christ. What does that mean? May we now begin, Holy Spirit, take us into this. We want to live in this truth. We don't want to read about that. We don't want that as a fridge magnet. We want to live in the reality of this truth. What does it mean? As your children, as co-heirs with Christ, what does it mean here for the nation? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What's it all about? And that's what we're asking God now as we pray a little bit later on, that the Holy Spirit will start to open this up for us to get a better revelation of this. Now, some time back, we touched a little bit about the covenants of God. And as I shared over there, that the covenant that God makes with mankind is the way that God will relate with man and man to relate with God. So it's almost like the terms and conditions of this relationship. So God's covenant is very relational. So we look there at the time when God made covenant with Abraham, it was a covenant of simply believing. It was a faith covenant. You just got to believe and walk in My ways. And then, obviously, throughout mankind's history over there, to walk by faith was a bit of a difficult thing. And then God then brings out the nation, and now gives them the new covenant, what we know as the Mosaic covenant, the Ten Commandments, the law of God. And so in the Ten Commandments, God then gives the terms and conditions and how He will be relating with them and how they will be relating with God. So you've got all the sacrifices, you've got the blessings and the curses, etc. All of that, the terms and conditions of that. So that's how God would be relating with Israel, and Israel will know how to relate back with God. That's their relationship. Then comes Jesus. And as we see when He has the communion, and this will be part of today's communion, when he has the communion, there's something profound that He says. And let me just read what he says over here. I want to just read the encounter that Paul had. It's the same with when Jesus spoke to His disciples. And Jesus said, "This is My body." Okay? "This is My body, which is broken for you. This is My body for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In order for blood to be released, there has to be a body slain. So we begin to understand that Jesus is the sacrifice. He is the sacrifice of God for us. So as we begin to understand the terminology and the reality of Christ being our sacrifice, because He is our sacrifice that was slain, now the blood that comes out of the sacrifice, the blood that comes out of Jesus, what does Jesus say over here? "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's why we examine ourselves. So here we notice something now, that with Jesus Christ, the way that God will be relating with us is different, because Jesus brings in the reality of a new covenant. So what was the message of God? What did Jesus come and proclaim? Jesus came to make the Father known. Jesus came to reveal the Father. So as we've been praying through John chapter 17, all the time we see over there where the main emphasis is where Jesus is saying, "Father, the time has come, and for You granted Him authority," etc. "Now this is eternal life, that they may know You, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent," because it's through Me that thou comest sons and daughters into our family. So we notice over here, "All the time I have revealed You to those whom You gave Me out of this world." And so we notice here that the purpose of God, as we looked at the Ephesians, the purpose of God was that before the time began, God already had prepared and had already made a decision that through My Son Jesus Christ, they're going to be adopted back into My family. They're going to be My children through My Son Jesus. So the way now, through Jesus Christ, the way that God relates with you and I is as Father and child. That's how He relates with us. That's the terms and conditions. So now we begin to understand why He puts His Spirit within us. By Spirit we say, "Abba, Father." Now we begin to understand that the terms and conditions, that the way that our Heavenly Father will be relating to us, is that He is My Father, I'm His child. It's no longer slave and master. It's Father and Son. It's Father and daughter. And that's crucial, because it helps us to understand what it means to be a co-heir with Christ. The word heir is the one that has the right to receive the inheritance. The genuine child. So all of a sudden we begin to understand where the inheritance that our Lord Jesus Christ has been given by the Father, we too share in that same inheritance. What that means, I'm not sure yet. It's pretty big. It's pretty deep. That's our discovery now, to understand and grow in what it means to be seated with Christ as co-heirs, sharing in His inheritance, having the rights of a son, of a daughter, as Christ has the right as the firstborn amongst many. So we're beginning to understand a little bit more as we go on how the Father relates with you and I. So now we go back to our portion in Romans, and let's spend a little bit of time in that. Before I do that, in John chapter 1, there's a very important truth there. In John chapter 1, and let me just read that. John is describing the incredible good news and the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read here in verse 10, He was in the world, and through the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. All of us here who believe and know that God is real, God, Jesus, has given us the right to be the children of God. To be able to receive an inheritance, we have to be the children of God. We cannot receive God's inheritance if we're not a child. So here we begin that our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, has given you and I the right. How do we think? Okay. How do we live? How do we understand what that means, that we have been given the right to be children of God? How do we look into our future? See, this is why this is so important, because it's going to change the way we think about life. It's going to change the way we look into our futures. It's going to change the way how we walk on this earth in authority. You see, Jesus has been raised above all. All things work for Him. All things are under His authority. All things. The inheritance of Jesus, we are co-heirs. Jesus, He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And every principality, every demon submits to Jesus Christ. We are co-heirs. See, that's why in Revelations, when it speaks of Revelations 12, when it speaks about in Revelations 4 and 5, us being this glorious kingdom of priests from every tribe, every nation, through the blood of Jesus Christ, who has purchased us atonement, redemption, so that we can rule here on earth. What does the future of South Africa look like as we begin to get established in this truth? What does the future of our nation look like when we begin to start speaking from a position of a co-heir with our Lord Jesus Christ. What will this nation look like when we start to stop being intimidated by all that's being shared and begin to really understand what does it mean to be seated with our Lord Jesus Christ? Our spirit is alive. We're dealing with demonic forces that is submitting to our Lord Jesus Christ. What does the keys of the kingdom look like when we begin to understand the incredible truth of being a co-heir with our Lord Jesus Christ? His inheritance. We partake in his inheritance. What does that look like? So this is the search now. This is for you and I to spend time and Holy Spirit, take us into this. Jesus, I simply receive this by faith. This is where the simple faith comes. Every promise of God, we simply take hold of it by a pure faith. That's it. So as I'm sharing, it might not be today, it might be tomorrow, it might be next week, it whenever, and a moment will come when all of a sudden this will become alive to you. You simply have received by faith. Okay, and in that you'll start to find out the reality. Have you anybody experienced incredible joy of seated with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the heavenly realms as a family gathering? If you have a happy family gathering multiplied by a million and million and million times, the shyest person in the family, there's no restrictions. There's no hurts. There's no jealousy. The joy, the oneness, the celebration, the togetherness. I tell you, we're in this family of God, seated with Him. And the more we begin to experience it, the more we will live it out. Because our spirit knows this now. Now we're renewing our mind. And as we renew our mind, we are being transformed into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we will know the will of God that's good and pleasing and perfect. Okay, can't deny this, what God is sharing. It's vital for us to move forwards in the destiny for this nation. So we're looking here, and let me also, so he gave us a right. Let's just get this established a bit more. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 1, John writes, again, notice how he starts, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The NIV doesn't really put it. It uses the word of here that we should be called, and the real thrust in the Greek here is purpose, and it reads more like this: how great is the love the Father has lavished on us in order that we will be His children. So it's because of His love has a purpose to bring us into His family as He's adopted as His sons and His daughters in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. Can you understand why we cannot neglect the prayers when we're praying, Father, by Your Holy Spirit, enable people, enable us to be able to grasp the depth, the width, the love, the height of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. That Spirit needs to communicate to Spirit and really begin so that they can get that revelation and then renew their mind to revelation and begin to experience the incredible love of God. And that's why you ask a good question. Because why don't people want to come to the church? Why that? Because they don't know the reality of the love of God. They don't understand these things. Their spirit is still seeking the reality of the spirit of this world, the pleasures to be satisfied, but praise God that's stopping because we're praying for the Holy Spirit to bring about a desire and a hunger for people to begin to once again have a first love and really understand truth. If I look at years that I've been involved in ministry, there was the Billy Grahams, great evangelists taking place. But there was very little teaching and understanding of what we're sharing now. So many get born again, but now there's no foundation that has been settled. And that the charismatic movement came, etc., and all the excitement and all that took place over there, and all the different moves, cats of fire, etc., all that taking place, and very little. So many, many drifted back, but you can see what God is busy doing. He's putting a foundation so that we can be solid. We've got an anchor. We're rooted and established in Christ Jesus. Okay. And so that's why God is doing something in our nation in helping the family of God get established in His Son Jesus Christ. So that's who we are, children of God. His love has a purpose. Sonship, children. So in Romans chapter 8, let me just quickly go through this. In Romans chapter 8, just to emphasize here in, remember in verse 1 onwards there, Paul is writing about this new life in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit's power working within us, this resurrection life that's within us. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, and he's speaking about this incredible life of Holy Spirit within us, and what does it mean to have a Spirit that's been raised from the dead. So Romans 8 is the evidence, it's the insight to our human spirit that has come alive in His Son Jesus Christ, and how it all works. Now those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. Okay? But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So straight away, remember, now the condition of your spirit affects the way we think now. So now we start to think, wow, I'm starting to think now because my spirit's alive. My mind now is starting to get touched by the life of the Holy Spirit and having a spirit that's alive. So we start to think differently, and therefore we start to behave differently. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. That's part of the fruit now, the evidence of our spirit being alive. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. But we, because we've been raised from the dead in Christ Jesus, because our spirit has been raised from the dead, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. And that's part now of experiencing that this flesh, the habits of how I used to live, is now suddenly not as strong anymore, because the Spirit of God within, alive with my spirit, is releasing that life into my body, and as a result, His life is entering into this body, and I'm finding victory after victory after victory. Sanctification, in other words, in church language. And then look at verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation not to the sinful nature to live according to it, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So again, by the Spirit, not by the flesh, we can't do it. It's by the Spirit of God we have the victory over the habits of the old nature. Okay, because we're living now from our spirit out. Our spirit is alive. There's a power of God, the power of the resurrection that we have raised with Christ. We're seated with Him in the heavenly realms. Now we carry on and we read over here. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that made you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. Before, we were slave to sin. We were slave to fear. We were slave to just the consequences of the sinful nature, etc. So here we see that a dead spirit, our spirit that's separated from God, brings us into slavery. Now the miracle of being born again, where now we receive Holy Spirit, what's the consequences of us receiving the Holy Spirit? Let's look at it again. Because, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And this is why understanding this is so important. The reality that we are now genuine children of God. To be able to be seated, to be able to understand the reality of being seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, we need to be established in the fatherhood of God. We need to be able to open our hearts and say, Father, thank you. That's who I'm, your child. And I open up my heart to receive you as my father, to father me in life. This is why the foundation of fatherhood, Jesus came to reveal the Father. The way the Father has made covenant with us is through His Son Jesus, in bringing in the reality of Father, Son, Father, Daughter. So the way that our Father will be relating with us will be from a position, from a reality of Him being our Heavenly Father. The way we relate to Him seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, we will be relating to our Lord, to our Heavenly Father as Father. Now all of a sudden, you open up and you will find, as you get established in this, you will really start to be drawn into this incredible truth that it was the Father's will for all mankind to come into His family. And all of a sudden we start to pray from a position of being in the family of God, and we want all to come into the family of God. Now all of a sudden there's a passion, there's a love for the lost, because we want all, we're connecting to the very heart of our Father as His children. And then we find ourselves in a place where, Lord, here I am. Let's go and touch their lives. And now we have the resources, the angelic realm. Now we've got Holy Spirit to lead and to guide. We've got the gifts. We've got all the, everything that is now available for us to be involved here on earth. What we know is the truth there in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The keys of the kingdom. We now partaking, we experiencing all the blessings in Christ Jesus. Now we are able to receive that by faith, and here on the earth we're able to loose it. Let it become a reality as we share the gospel, as we touch people's lives, as we walk around and do the things that we do because our spirit is alive. Thy kingdom come. And all of a sudden we're overcoming darkness with goodness. Because the kingdom of God consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And all of a sudden we're starting to find there where before we might argue and we would do this and do that, but no. Now we're overcoming all of that there with this incredible kingdom reality that we have now brought down here on earth. Because we're still here, but we're also there. We're advancing the kingdom of God. We are privileged. Hey? It was a great joy of a father to predestine for mankind to be adopted as his children. Great joy, great pleasure. The mercy and grace for this to take place is rich, it's full, it's huge. The resources of God's mercy is we receive, we use. This is not fairy tale stuff. This is real stuff. That's why faith is a substance that's real. Faith sees this mercy, this rich, abundant mercy of God. Faith sees the power of that mercy, that now, wow, that's your mercy. Let me let it loose here on earth. What will our nation look like? What's the future of South Africa as you and I begin to get established in the truth of being raised with Christ, seated with Him in the heavenly realms, as children, genuine children of God, that has the rights to be a child of God, that has received the inheritance together with an incredible brother, big brother, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. What does that look like? May the Holy Spirit give us insight, and as we grow in this, as we begin to discover and search and say, Lord, show us. We say yes to you. We want to live, and we want this, as I've shared before, South Africa, the nations are Christ's inheritance. South Africa is Christ's inheritance. Now as we get to understand co-heirs, we are on earth, we are busy working to see Christ's inheritance become a reality, our reality. Imagine the joy where you and I can come and say, Lord Jesus, here's your inheritance as a thanks offering to you. We give you as nation, South Africa. We're working his inheritance, seeing it become manifest on earth. This is the Great Commission. This is our task. This is what we're all about. To be involved with something so big and beautiful and powerful, because it's God's will that everybody, through his son Jesus, gets adopted into his family. True sons and daughters. Amen. So we just read over here. Let me just finish that scripture in Romans 8. So the dead spirit, slaves. Born again, no longer slaves, but now we are sons. And that's why it's so important, because we, in our mind, we could be seated with Christ still as a slave. And we think we're a slave. And so our prayers will be as a slave prayer. You know? Sort of begging God like crazy and all, you name it, just like a slave, and that fear, and I wonder if I've prayed enough, because maybe I haven't polished the golden streets enough there in heaven, and maybe God's going to put me into some kind of heavy duty labor, because, you know, all this kind of slave mentality. We are sons and daughters, full right, seated with him. We will be praying from the finished work of Jesus Christ. We will be praying as the spirit of sonship, Holy Spirit, shares with us the very deep things of the Father, that we are involved with that, so that he is glorified in the name and through his son Jesus Christ. And then we just read over here, powerful truth over here. And by him we cry, Abba Father, because Holy Spirit. Our spirit has been raised from the dead, sonship. Father is real. Now it's relationship with the Father. Then the way covenant is, through Christ, Father, Child. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Sealed, solid, it's a reality. Now if we are children, we are heirs, and heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share, we're not going to get there yet, but indeed if we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. And verse 18 is important to understand that. I consider our present sufferings are not worthy comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So the suffering has to do with the revelation of the glory of God in us. Okay, so I think we'll stop over there this morning. But I think the big part now, as we have communion, is you might want to just, Lord, you've given me the right, I'm your child. Here I am, come and father me. And just opening your hearts to fatherhood. 2 years back, when, I think it was 2 years, or maybe 3 years now, it's gone so quickly, but when God shared and he said, part of the army coming together will be this, will be the fact that we will simply believe all the promises of God, all the goodness of God, we will just simply believe that, receive it, and take hold of that. And we will war with faith, what God has done. So all these promises now, and then out of that will be opening our hearts to live loved by the Father, to understand the fatherhood, to be embrace the fatherhood of God and allow him to really father us, to help us. We don't know how to live seated with Christ Jesus. We're so ground bound. But the Holy Spirit showing us we've been raised, so now we're renewing our mind to that, so that we can start to learn how to live being seated with Christ. And then after that, it was a simple thing. Now that we are seated with Christ, because the power of the old nature has been dead, so it's no longer self-centered, it's not about me anymore. Now we're seated with Christ, now we've got the mind of God concerning everything. Now there's a unity that comes into place. Now we start to come and say, Lord, yes to you, Jesus. Yes, whatever you want to do, here we are. We follow you. And there's that oneness because we understand the power of the cross. We understand being raised with Christ, seated with him. Now there's a oneness. This family of God is so one, involved in seeing the Father glorified, honoring his name. Hallowed be your name, our Father in heaven. So that's the outflowing of this. So you, the next part, as we get established in this, you will see the army will be mobilized and we will really then be involved in the mighty work of God. And so all those good works that God has predestined for us to do comes out of being seated in the heavenly realms. That's the good works that we will now demonstrate as we follow our Lord Jesus Christ. So you might be in a rush to get involved. Let's get established in being seated with Christ so that we are thinking differently, no longer ground-bound thoughts, but now we're thinking heavenly thoughts. Our hearts and our minds are fixed on things above now because that's where we're seated. So that's the time we're in. So this, we must pray into, receive, pray for one another, pray for the body of Christ in our nation, for this to be established so that the body in South Africa, the body of Christ, lives differently. Imagine not hearing any moaning from a Christian's mouth about stuff. Hey? Imagine when the Christians start to say, wow, let's speak the words of Jesus here. And we start to see the word of God is alive and is active and powerful, living, cutting, penetrating. We start to see that taking place. When God says, overcome evil with good, we will start to see what that looks like, to see how the evil in a nation is overcome by the believers walking in the reality of kingdom goodness. Who can come against it? Because it says, overcome evil with goodness. This is the future. And that's why we get excited and we belong to something awesome. Yeah. So let's have communion together and celebrate just God's incredible good news. Father, we sit with you and just experience the depth of your love. We experience your fatherhood, your fatherness, the freedom to be ourselves in your presence, the freedom to be able to be real, the freedom to be able to just laugh and dance, the freedom to be able to participate in so much. And we thank you that all the baggage is loose from us. All the stuff is not here with us as we are seated with you. When the sun sets free, we are free indeed. When we take hold of truth, we will discover that truth sets free. So we want to thank you for the probably the most incredible deliverance that's going to be taking place in the body of Christ as we learn the truth of being seated with you, because here is freedom. Here is purity, here is your incredible holiness, light, light, light. And we want to thank you that this incredible deliverance that will take place in this nation will be because of what you are sharing with us now that we're stepping into. So we look into the future and we see the nation, South Africa, and we get excited because this is a substance, this is very real. This deliverance is very, very real. So we, right now, in the name of your Son Jesus, I just want to release the power of this deliverance that the body of Christ will experience as we enter into the truth of being seated with you as co-heirs in the heavenlies. Thank you for that. We want to thank you, Holy Spirit, as we partake and we have communion. What a joy, because you are in us, where you share with us that we are children. Abba Father, Lord, when we just look at the love that you have for us, Jesus, and we notice over there that when everything was so dark and evil and you gave your life, you came into this world and you gave your body as that sacrifice, and in your blood as the atonement for the forgiveness of sin. And that's why we're in you. It's a joy of having, of being taken out of this dominion of darkness, brought into the kingdom as citizens of the kingdom. What a joy for us to be able to partake with you, Jesus, this morning in the freedom and the reality of being seated in what your blood and what your body has done for us. To be able to understand the joy of being set free from being so ground bound, and to be able to live in the truth of being in the kingdom. You showed us a way, Lord, when you were on the earth. You demonstrated something, but this is even more now, because we partake with you as in your glorification, and we live from this position, and we want to thank you for that. So thank you, Lord, that we can eat and celebrate life together. Thank you for the joy of being together as a family. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.